Welcome. Good morning to everybody. Hour number two of Tony Sanders Outdoors on Talk Radio 102.3 FM, The Talk Monster. The namesake of the show is in Nashville, working hard for the Friends of the NRA, so he has left me the reins of the radio station this morning. I'm not pushing any buttons. I'm not playing with any toys, so hopefully this broadcast will continue in a professional manner.
I think we'll be all right.
All right. Appreciate Brian getting up extra early this morning, pushing the buttons for us.
Happy to be here.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for getting out into the great outdoors. In the house, Will Lillard from Lillard Fly Fishing Expeditions. We'll be talking to him some more. If you have any questions for us, give us a call, 267-1023, 267-1023, or 1-888-779-8255. We've been talking some fly fishing this morning. We got some other stuff to cover. Talked a little bit about guns this morning. Not much, but a little bit. But we've got some other wonderful news. Before we get back into fly fishing, let's talk about something that is somewhat related to our topic at hand, which is youth. This is from the TWRA. The TWRA will be hosting its fourth annual Tennessee Outdoor Youth Summit, TOYS, Tennessee Outdoor Youth Summit, from June 9th through 14th for high school students across the state of Tennessee. Students will be introduced to many outdoor activities, and the event will be held at the Montgomery County Shooting Complex near Clarksville. Among the different outdoor activities will be boating, hunting, trapping, archery, photography, marksmanship, plant identification, forestry, camping, water quality, trap shooting, skeet shooting, wildlife identification, and many classes with wildlife and fisheries biology as a topic. So that sounds like a great thing for youth to participate in. You can go to the TWRA website for more information, and an application must be submitted to TWRA by May 3rd. So check that out. It is the Tennessee Outdoor Youth Summit. I wish I had something like that when I was young.
Yeah, I would have liked to do that.
I mean, you get, let me see here, you get boating, hunting, trapping, archery, photography, marksmanship, plant identification. That can come in handy.
Yeah.
Plant ID can come in real handy. I don't know about you, but when I have guided in the past, people will ask me, and keep in mind, my degree is not in a natural science per se, it's in a mathematical science. People would ask me, what kind of tree is that? And I would say, green.
Yeah.
Or alive.
A leafy one.
Yeah, that's pretty much my tree identification at that point. Do you get asked questions? Do you get, I mean, having a background, do you feel you know more about the flora and fauna? Do you feel more comfortable answering questions?
It's always definitely been an interest of mine. So I make it a point on all of our trips, we teach a lot about ecology and just the natural history of the areas in which we're in. So I make sure to educate myself before we go on at least the most common plants we're going to see. So I can identify most of the trees pretty well. Trees, plants, definitely the animals.
Well, yeah, I think I got most animals covered. It's just the whole plant, the flora part that I have an issue with. And, you know, I look and I still have trouble figuring out if it's Virginia creeper or if it's poison oak.
Yeah.
They're very similar, and so I just leave them both alone. And
that's always a good rule.
Yeah.
Yeah. When in doubt, just leave it alone.
Yeah. Works real well with large animals. Well,
yes, definitely with large animals, it's a good rule to follow.
Now, do you ever encounter any when you're out west? Do you ever encounter any like elk? Do you ever see elk?
Oh, yeah. We've got, you know, if you were to take a look at our website and take a look at the pictures, you'll see, especially on those Colorado trips, lots of wildlife. We see elk, black bears, you know, lots of mule deer out in Colorado, bighorn sheep, and then your more typical smaller game also. But and then we've done some trips in Wyoming, and next year we're doing a fly fishing summer camp up in Montana. It will be one of our more advanced trips for returning students. We're going to stay up at Slide Lake Inn with Kelly Gallup and do a streamer school up there with him. And when we've done trips up in there in the past, you know, we see some grizzly bears, but we like to try and see grizzly bears from as far away as possible, if at all.
Now, this streamer school you mentioned just piqued my interest. Now, mm-hmm. What are the age ranges on that?
That's going to be a high school trip. And Kelly does streamer schools in the fall that are open admission, you know, it's mostly adults. But we're going to do one through Kelly and some of his other guides. And it's going to be a teens-only streamer fishing school, which it will be a lot of fun. It's going to be for our more advanced fishermen that are ready to start looking for those real big trout with big streamers. So
basically you're going headhunting up there.
We're going headhunting for sure.
All right. That now we're talking.
Yeah.
That's what I'm all about.
Yeah, that's going to be a great one. We're really looking forward to that. Probably the best part of my job is what I call scouting. You know, I got to go to these places first. Check it out. Make sure it's going to be a good time.
Can't take your clients to a dry hole. You got to make sure.
Exactly. Yeah. So I spend about 2 or 3 months. Our trips end in August, and from middle of August until it gets too cold out west, I'm pretty much scouting, as I like to call it. And
that's what you call it. That's your story, and you're sticking to it.
It's a tough part of my job, but somebody's got to do it. You know.
Now I'm making jokes, but yeah, you do have to do that, and it does sound great and fun. But having been a guide. And for those who have never really understood what a guide does, there was something what I called, I kept guide hours,
mm-hmm.
which is you're up at 03, icing down food and beverages, hooking up the boat, you're meeting people, you're driving to where you need to be, then you're 8 hours on the water, then there's 1 to 2 hours of cleanup, load up, resetting of gear for a trip for the next day. Then you got to stay up and tie the flies that you lost that day. So you're getting to bed around midnight, 1, and you're up at 3. So you keep this up for several weeks at a time, and you start to get into what I call this. You start to get into these guide hours, which you keep some weird hours, and it is rough. So having the ability to go scout, as you say,
yeah,
does, I mean,
it's,
you know,
a good, it's a good
nice
break from the
yeah.
summer.
Yeah.
Our trips start, you know, we've got custom trips that start right in beginning of June when all these kids are getting out of school. And then our open enrollment trips start June 20th and go right through August 14th. And I think I have, from May 25th until August 14th, I have 4 days off this summer. So when August 14th comes and I actually get to go out and do some fishing for myself, it's a much-needed break at that point.
It is. It is. So you keep guide hours for several months. So
yeah.
I think scouting is a well-deserved break.
I agree.
I think that's a well-deserved break. If you have any questions about Lillard Fly Fishing Expeditions, if you want to enroll your son or daughter in that, how can they get a hold of you?
You can get a hold of me via our website or my email. You know, our website is LillardFlyFishing.com, which is L as in Larry, I-L-L-A-R-D, FlyFishing.com. You can give us a call at 828-577-8204, or you can send me an email at will@LillardFlyFishing.com. Love to talk to you about our summer trips, our fly fishing summer camps for teens, custom trips, and also, you know, we haven't talked about it yet, but we do have a scholarship program. You know, last year we had over $5,000 in scholarships. This year we're giving over $10,000 in scholarships away. So we're trying to get kids involved in the sport, and we're happy to give some scholarship money for those who need it, and we'll do whatever we can to get as many kids as possible involved in our sport, fly fishing and conservation. And
that's absolutely wonderful. Getting these youth involved in that is absolutely wonderful. Do you have any Do you have any, like, if somebody wants to set up a trip, what's kind of the bottom age range that you can work with? I mean, everybody says, oh, is this too young or is that too young? What have you found to be, at least for your expeditions, what's the age ranges?
Well, for our open enrollment summer camps, we do students entering eighth grade, so rising eighth graders, as our youngest. That does not mean by any means that that's the youngest age you can start teaching kids to fly fish. I have a nephew who's six who tie up a woolly bugger faster than most people I know, and is a great caster and loves to fish, and he's pretty much an addict already. But it really depends on the kid. You know, I've met plenty of six-year-olds who are perfect for teaching. They're at that right age. They've got the coordination. They've got the interest. But you don't want to burn kids out too early. If they're not interested in it, give them some time. Let it come to them. I always tell people, start with fly tying. If they're not into fly fishing, kids love the craftiness of fly tying. Give them a bunch of bright colored feathers. Let them wrap them around a hook, and that's fun for them. Let them be creative. But we start doing custom trips. We've had trips for families with 7-8-year-olds on the trip, and it's the whole camping and backpacking experience that is appealing to them, that they don't have to be really interested in fly fishing, but we can do some horseback riding, some backpacking, camping, make some s'mores around the campfire, and they'll get into that whole experience, and then when you add that fly fishing component, they'll remember that and how much fun it was, and it's a great way to get kids interested in the sport.
Now, you said your nephew was six?
He's 6 years old, yep.
I've got a six-year-old nephew that I took fishing. He wanted to come fishing and do a guy's weekend with
mm-hmm,
Uncle Rob,
mm-hmm.
But Aunt Debbie could come along too, but on our guy's weekend. Anyway, he likes Aunt Debbie. So he really wanted to go fishing, so I set up here with a local guide, and we went out, and our guide put us on some catfish, and he had a ball. Introducing kids to the outdoors is absolutely great, and I got to be a part of that with at least my nephew. And last time I was at home over Christmas break, he walked up to me as we were fixing to leave, and he said, "Uncle Rob." I said, "Yeah, buddy." He said, "Can I come to Chattanooga again and go fishing with you?" I said, "Sure, I'll set it up." He says, "But I only want to catch big catfish this time." So therein lies the problem that, you know, you said earlier, where you take kids out west and let them catch cutthroat. My nephew has turned into like this. All he talks about is fishing for big catfish.
Mm-hmm.
That's all he wants to do. And I don't really fish for big catfish.
Yeah.
So I've created sort of a monster, but I know who to call, so I'm going to be doing that.
You bring up a good point there when you say that you hired a guide, and that's always what I recommend. You know, I'm not just trying to sell our guided trips or sell other guides' trips, but it's a great way to get kids involved in the sport, just because teaching a loved one can be difficult, and learning from a loved one can be even more difficult. So it's not always the easiest to teach your kid or your nephew or for your grandfather to teach you. So if you can hire that outside voice to come in, even if it's for one day or just for that first experience, to go over the basics, and they'll learn from them a little bit quicker, and it'll be more enjoyable for you. You can fish while they're fishing with the guide. It's a great way to get them.
All righty. Well, we'll continue the talk here on Tony Sanders Outdoors when we return. Welcome back to Tony Sanders Outdoors on Talk Radio 102.3 FM, The Talk Monster. We've been talking a little fly fishing this morning, but off the air we were talking a little turkey hunting. You do some turkey hunting, do some bird hunting?
Definitely, yeah, I love bird hunting.
Well, if you love bird hunting, we have got something for you. Beatty Fertilizer. They've been around in the Cleveland area since the 1930s, and they have a new fertilizer that is specifically designed for food plots. And you know how important food plots are to your success in hunting. They have got this. I'm not understanding all the science part of this. You know, I don't understand science. You know, more chemistry. But they have designed this great new fertilizer that is going to work and help grow your food plot in heavily shaded areas where you haven't been able to grow them before. We're real glad to have them on, and we will be talking with them in the near future. And if you want to talk to them about this great fertilizer, give them a call at 423-472-5491 or toll-free 877-255-0797. Beatty Fertilizer, they have been around since the 1930s. And that's even older than our host, Tony Sanders. He's been around for a while, but not since the 30s. But anyway. Also, it was nasty this morning. Did you get rain coming in?
Oh, yeah. It was definitely a foggy, misty morning out there.
Well, you know what they say about this area, and if you don't like the weather,
wait.
It'll change. And when it does, you need to call Action Air if you have heating or air conditioning problems, because that can put you out in a hurting real quick, because if it's cold outside and you're cold, nobody's happy in the household. Give Action Air a call at 423-842-5575, 842-5575, or check them out on the web at callactionair.com. They can solve all of your heating or cooling needs. And we haven't really needed the heat today. It's not bad out there, but I guarantee you we're going to get another cold snap, and then that heater's going to be kicking on. Well, you are in town today.
That's right.
Obviously, because we're live. You're in town today, and you're doing a fly fishing and fly tying seminar through Outdoor Chattanooga. Tell us a little bit about that.
That's right. I'm going to be at Outdoor Chattanooga today from 10 to 2. We're going to start off with a little fly fishing demonstration and clinic. We're going to cover the basics of setting up your rod and reel, the knot tying, the different rigs you can use, and also do some casting and cover all those basics, get you ready to get out on the water. And then we're going to do a little bit of a fly tying demonstration in class. We're going to probably tie up some woolly buggers, maybe a couple other flies, and teach you all about tying flies, and it's going to be a lot of fun. It's down at Outdoor Chattanooga. There's 10 spots. I believe they're all full, but there is a waiting list, so you can probably get on that, and people might not show up. So it's totally free. Great way to learn about fly fishing.
That's great, and that's through Outdoor Chattanooga.
That's right at Outdoor Chattanooga.
Wonderful, wonderful. You ever epoxied your fingers to a hook?
I haven't done that. Have you used that new curing?
Clear Goo?
Yeah.
I have used it. I really like it.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
It makes some really good heads on flies.
Exactly, yeah.
And you avoid
the whole gluing
yourself to the hook. But when you are working with epoxy and feathers, there's always potential.
Never know what's going to happen.
Potential for problems. But you said you were going to be tying up a woolly bugger, which is a really great fly. Catches warm water, cold water. Heck, if you tied it big enough, I'm sure it'd work in salt water. So let me ask you the million-dollar question. If you had only one fly in North Carolina, you had a fly box, you could have as many as you wanted, but you could only have one pattern, what would it be?
Probably wouldn't be too romantic of me to say this, but definitely a San Juan worm. I mean, trout just love worms. There's not a stream I've ever fished in my life where you can't get trout to fish worms or eat worms, you know, especially if it starts to rain and the water's coming up a little bit, or if it's a little off color, which seems to be more often than not, especially in North Carolina, where, you know, that western part of North Carolina is temperate rainforest, so it rains a lot. And when that water starts to rise, there's not much that beats a San Juan worm in those rivers.
And how long would it take you to teach somebody to tie a San Juan worm, like out at your Outdoor Chattanooga event today? How long would it take you to tie a San Juan worm?
It would take me to tie a San Juan worm probably just about a minute. You know, they tie up real fast. It'd probably take me to teach somebody to tie a San Juan worm about 5 minutes. You know, you could probably tie your first San Juan worm 5 to 10 minutes.
It is a very simplistic pattern, but highly effective.
One of the most effective patterns there is.
All right. I've never heard the San Juan worm. I say, I would have said, if I could have had mine, I would go with the woolly.
The woolly bugger.
I would go with the woolly bugger.
I was thinking a pheasant tail, maybe. Yeah, if I could go with one nymph, it'd be a pheasant tail. One streamer would be a woolly bugger. I don't know about my dry fly choice. You'd have to give me some time to think about that one.
All right. Now, on your expeditions that you do, both here and out west, do you teach fly tying as a part of that?
We do, definitely.
And do the kids really enjoy that?
The kids love fly tying.
Why do you think that is?
You know, part of it's the camaraderie because we get to sit around. You know, most of the time we're out on the river, you're pretty much out on your own and not doing much talking. And then at night we gather around a campfire, get a couple big lanterns going, and we tie flies. We get a couple tables out there, and we get to sit around the table and talk about the day and the fishing, and that's fun for them. But then also just the creativity. I mean, we've got a box full of fly tying books, full of awesome patterns, and they never get used. Kids always want to make up their own, the newest, greatest fly pattern that they just designed. So once they get those basics figured out, they can start looking through the material, find something out, you know, make their own patterns, and then they fish them the next day and catch fish on them. So nothing really beats that.
Well, that's great. The fly tying aspect is something that's very near and dear to my heart. But we have a caller. Let's see if we can talk to Jerry and see what's going on. Good morning, Jerry. How are you?
Good morning. Doing fine. How are you guys?
Doing fairly well. How can we help you this morning?
Well, I'm getting off the subject of fly fishing just a little bit. My brother and I had a conversation yesterday about these Alabama rigs that they're using to striper fish and crappie fish and stuff with.
Yes, sir.
Is there a limit of how many lures you can have on one in particular Alabama rig? I know if they use a lot of them, it's got the five hookups. What is the limit on them in Tennessee that you can have on one rig?
That has been a topic of controversy, and I believe I'm going to research that for you, Jerry. I believe it is three, and you can have three baits on there, if I'm not mistaken. Hopefully a caller will call in, and maybe I can look this up here in just a second. I believe it is three baits, and the hook size has to be I think it's a 10, or can't be bigger than a 10. I'm going to research that here in just a second, but I'm pretty sure it's three because the Alabama rig, as sold in stores, is not legal in the state of Tennessee.
Right, because I noticed that most of them have they've got five on them.
Correct.
And so you basically have to, when you buy one, you have to cut two of them off if you're fishing them in Tennessee.
Correct. Now, I'm pretty sure it's three, but I think there is a hook size regulation, and yes. I'm not sure if one of those, if all of those, I don't think all of those baits can have hooks. I'm going to have to do a little bit of research on that because, to be honest, Jerry, I'm not up on that one, and there was a lot of confusion. We talked about this early last year when the Alabama rig started coming out, and before TWRA had really come out and said, this is legal. I can direct you, TWRA, if you go to the Angling TWRA website, they have a video on there. It's a great video that was shot up at Ellington Agricultural Center that has the information, and they explain it. But during the commercial break, I will research that and hopefully be able to give you an answer, Jerry.
Okay. Great show, guys. Enjoy it. Listen to you every Saturday morning, and look forward to hearing you next Saturday.
Jerry, appreciate you calling in, bud.
Thanks a lot.
While I'm doing some quick research, we're going to take a little break, pay some bills. Stay with us for Tony Sanders Outdoors on Talk Radio 102.3 FM. Welcome back to Tony Sanders Outdoors. Little Motor City Madman, the Nuge, Uncle Ted. Just had a caller ask about the Alabama rig, and I have pulled up that information here on Tony Sanders Outdoors. Our goal here is to provide you with information, which I think we have today, entertainment. I've been entertained, and hopefully to educate. I have educated our guest today on what a Tennessee rig is. I had to kind of show you what that was, but don't really use them much in our area. But if you wouldn't mind, that second paragraph over there.
Yep.
Could you explain the regulations on a...
Definitely. Well, I think this would be a little bit hard to cast with a fly rod, but I'm going to talk about it here. The umbrella rigs can be legally fished in Tennessee waters as long as they comply with the regulation as described in the proclamation. An umbrella rig is defined as any array of more than three artificial lures or baits, with or without hooks, used by a single rod and reel combination. Each blade of a spinner bait would be considered a lure. If the hook sizes are eight or smaller, all lures or baits may have hooks, single, double, or treble. If any hooks on the umbrella rig are hook size 6 or larger, then one lure or bait in the array may have a hook, and that hook must be a single hook. So for the Alabama rig to be legally fished, let's see, the Alabama rig can be legally fished in Tennessee waters following the restrictions set forth for the umbrella rigs. If any angler reduces the number of baits attached to the Alabama rig to 3 or less, it would not meet the definition of an umbrella rig. It could be fished with any size hook or style of hook.
So there you go. Hopefully that answers it. And so if it's a size 6 hook or larger, you can only have one. If it's a size 8, you can have more. And we got that off the TWA website. So there's some good information. Appreciate the call from Jerry asking about that. And hopefully, yeah, after you saw that, you're like, no, there's no way.
Yeah, I don't think I could cast. I don't think I could cast that one.
No.
Not very far, anyways.
It'd be a chuck and duck. It would definitely be a chuck and duck. Now, you do a lot of, you said you fly into Denver out west a lot.
That's right. Our trips fly right into Denver.
Denver International Airport, which interesting layout of that airport itself.
It is. A little spread out.
Yeah, if you want to say that. It is massively huge. But you need to be careful next time you go out there. Because when you park your car at an airport, and this has been on several major news stories. You know, you're worried about it getting broken into and stuff like that. You don't need to be worrying about that. You need to worry about rabbits chewing through the cables under the cars. They've had a very serious problem at Denver International Airport with the rabbits seeking shelter and heat under the vehicles, and then they just decide to chew on the undercarriage of the car. And it says here that they're using raptors, hawks, and eagles to try and keep the rabbit population down. And they, U.S. Wildlife, Fisheries and Wildlife, is removing more than 100 rabbits each month in an attempt to keep the parking lot safe.
You know, those rabbits are dangerous.
evil critters out west. That was one of our weird news stories. Got another great news story, kind of up in our Appalachian Woods area. Mm-hmm.
Lots of good news coming out of there.
Oh, yeah. A gentleman by the name of Gregory Coots, who is a pastor at the Full Gospel Tabernacle in Jesus' Name Church in Middlesboro, Kentucky, says he wants the 3 rattlesnakes and 2 copperheads that were confiscated by the Tennessee Wildlife Resources Agency during a traffic stop in Knoxville. Coots was returning from Alabama, where he purchased the snakes to be used in worship services.
Mm.
So we had a minister, per se, stopped and removed of his serpents that were going to be used back, actually, where I went up in my neck of the woods, where I went to college up there. So
I don't know if I would like to go to that church service.
You know, hey, you know, to each their own.
Yep.
You know, if that's what it takes, you know, I'll just be in the back. If you need me, I'll be in the back. Yeah, we've had some weird outdoor news stories this week, but there was also another news story that Montana is passing a roadkill bill. So next, you know, you're got some excursions going up there. Next time I'm up in Montana, I'm aiming for a moose.
Don't break.
Yeah, I'm aiming. Getting me some moose stuck up in my freezer. So, if somebody wants to get a hold of you and find out more about getting their son or daughter in one of your programs, how do they get a hold of you?
You know, contact us at lillardflyfishing.com. You can find all of our information on there. Our email address is info@lillardflyfishing.com, or you can contact me directly at will@lillardflyfishing.com. Again, Lillard is spelled with an L as in Larry, L-I-L-L-A-R-D. Or you can give us a call at 828-577-8204. We'd be happy to talk to you about our summer camps or maybe a custom trip. We've got connections with guides all across the country, so we can help plan a trip for you and your family, probably keep the cost down to even lower than it would be if you were to try and do it on your own. So,
and you can set them up pretty much anywhere they want to go.
Anywhere you want to go. We've got some connections. We've scouted it, probably. Part of the tough part of my job, you know, so if we haven't, we'd love to go scout it. So give us a call. We'll be happy to work with you.
Now, do you do any saltwater?
We have done some saltwater trips. You know, I was While I was at NYU, I was working at the Orvis store in Manhattan, so I'm very familiar with the fishing around the Northeast. Striped bass fishing, the stripas up in the Northeast, the false albacore. I'm very familiar with that up all the way through Maine. And then we're going to be adding some winter break fly fishing summer camps down in Florida. And we're going to be doing some saltwater and brackish fishing. We're going to fish in the Everglades National Park, and we're going to do some kayak fishing there. And
specks and reds.
Specks and reds, baby tarpon, and...
might jump a snook down there, too.
Exactly.
All right.
Never know what you're going to get.
Now, you brought up one of my favorite fish, albies.
Mm.
Love catching those things. I caught one, and pardon the pun, but I was hooked.
Yeah.
It was like, the only thing I can equate it to is taking your fishing line, tying it to the back of a high-performance sports car,
mm-hmm.
and flooring the gas, because...
Watch out for that reel.
It will take
your
hand off.
Quick. Yep.
It had to be one of the hardest pulling fish I have ever.
They're pretty amazing.
And they're not that big.
No.
You get this thing up and you think it's going to be 300 or 400 pounds, and it's, you know, maybe 5.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
It's I don't know how they do it. They are fast.
They are the sports cars of the sea. They mm-hmm. really are. Well, we'll be wrapping it up here when we come back. Stay tuned with us on Tony Sanders Outdoors on Talk Radio 102.3 FM. Welcome back. Wrapping it up on this Saturday morning on Tony Sanders Outdoors. We wish Tony safe travels on his return home this weekend. And Tony will be back in the studio joining us next weekend for more hunting and fishing talk on 102.3 FM. First radio interview, how do you...
That was fun. Goes fast.
That's what everybody says. Goes fast, doesn't it?
Goes real fast.
Tell everybody how they can get a hold of you one more time. If they want to set something up, an adventure for their young person in their life, how can they get a hold of you?
Give us a call, 828-577-8204. Make sure you take a look at our website, LillardFlyFishing.com. Or, you know, give us an email. You can email us at info@LillardFlyFishing.com or send me an email personally at will@LillardFlyFishing.com.
And today you're going to be out with Outdoor Chattanooga?
Today I'll be out at Outdoor Chattanooga from 10 to 2 doing a fly fishing and fly tying class. And spots are filled. It's 10 spots open, but they filled up pretty quick. And there is a waiting list. You can get your name on that or come out and just hang out and talk to us. We'd love to talk with more people. So,
all right. Well, check that out. Hopefully, if somebody's interested, there might be a spot open for them. Today, head on out to Sportsman's Warehouse. They're doing Reloading Basics with David Miller from 1:30 to 3:30 p.m. And do not forget, hunting and fishing licenses expire this Thursday. Be sure and get your new fishing license before you hit the water. Otherwise, you will be in violation. We can't have that.
Don't want to be in violation.
Don't want to be in violation. Want to be legal. Want to be able to fish. This coming Saturday the 2nd, National Wild Turkey Federation Cherokee Chapter, Chester Frost State Park, 5:30 p.m. Food, fun, fellowship for everybody. Come on out and see them out at Chester Frost State Park at 5:30 p.m. Been a good show, hasn't it?
That was a lot of fun. Thank you for having me.
I appreciate you coming in. Stay tuned for Jed the Man Mescon and Crazy Nathan Fox on Tradio. You've been listening to Tony Sanders Outdoors on Talk Radio 102.3 FM.